Hey, welcome to Love, Hope, and Stories. I'm Jennifer, and today I'm sharing my friend Peggy with you. You'll hear us chat about the different transitions she's made in her career, but really, I think you'll tell pretty quickly that it's really her faith journey. Faith for Peggy has been hard fought. She puts God to the test, and she's seen him come through. And so I know it's going to be an encouragement to you, especially if you're one of the people in the world who finds it a little bit more difficult to put faith in the Lord. I think this is for you. So here she is. Hey, Peggy.
Hey, friend. Hi, Jen. How you doing?
You're one of my oldest friends.
Yeah.
Not that you are old, but we have been friends for a long
time. Because I'm only 27 and a half, Jen, that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Hey, this is called Love, Hope, and Stories, so that works.
Yes.
So we met when we were in college.
Yes.
You lived in the next room to us?
Yes.
I had a roommate. You had a single room?
Yes.
I remember Peggy with her big red hair.
I got a certificate that year. I don't know if you remember, but two of the girls that were really well-known and well-loved on the hall, they did certificates for everybody at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I got a certificate that was had something to do with it was like the best sayings on the board, because I would always put sayings on my board in the hallway. So that was my claim to fame that
You know
year.
What mine was?
What?
I was really embarrassed and disappointed, and it kind of like made my life take a turn. I got the New Guy Every Week award.
Oh.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, well, okay.
Mainly because I don't think that it was true.
I was going to say, was it true? I didn't know that.
I don't think it was true. No, I could have been talking about a new guy every week.
Well, I mean,
because
that comes with being a young girl.
My little impatient heart of...
Yeah.
I got to get married. If I'm going to do ministry, I have to be married to somebody doing ministry. I needed to be set free from that. And that's why I say, I think the Lord used that to say, Jennifer, what are you putting out there? What are you showing people? Like, what are people taking away from your life? Whether it's true or not, what are they perceiving? And so,
yeah,
I went through a little Jesus boot camp that summer. Anyway, that's a different story.
That's a different podcast.
You have really transitioned your life with the Lord in multiple situations. So let's talk about when you were living in Virginia and you decided to come to college. Did you come straight from high school into college?
No, I didn't even take the ACT or the SAT when I was in high school. I wasn't having nothing to do with college. I really didn't think that, because my perception of what someone who goes to college looks like, I didn't meet that. You know, it's the girl with the long hair parted in the middle, and she wears a pink sweater, and she's all the time spending time in the library. Like, that wasn't me, and I regret it, and I apologize to anybody who's got long hair and parted in the middle and wears pink. I just had this false assumption of what somebody looks like when they go to college.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even take the ACT or the SAT when I was in high school, because I wanted to get a job and get up out of there, and because I am a very independent person.
Yeah.
And that's something that God is still actually this morning fashioning in me to use it for his glory, and to be useful for the kingdom. But I was working at a retail store, a gifts and cards store, and loved it there. And then when I was 27, when I turned 20, around in that area, so we're talking 1997, I just felt a stirring for something different. And I went on a missions trip in the summer of 97 to Guadalajara with a missionary who's very well known in that area. And he took us to the mountain that's kind of on the top of in Guadalajara. And we were sitting there, and we had done this experience where there were rocks that were, according to legend, it was where people did back in the day did human sacrifice. And so he used it as an opportunity for all of us to put ourselves on the rocks and pray over each other as kind of a way to say, you know, we're giving ourselves on the altar kind of a thing towards the Lord.
Spiritually speaking.
And so yeah, exactly, yeah. Then he had us sit around on the rocks and on the side of the mountain, essentially, and look out over the city of Guadalajara, which is actually a collection of barrios. And he had us to pray over. He said, pick a light that you see in the distance and pray over that light, the people that are associated with that light. So honestly, it was kind of like, that was a time when God had my undivided attention, and I think he really kind of sat down next to me and had a conversation with me. And then that conversation led me to the thought of needing to go back to college to get on the road that I needed to get on to where I wanted to go for the rest of my life.
So what'd you do? You came home from Mexico.
I did, and I asked my friends. I said, tell me about your school, because I went to a big Assemblies of God church, and I had several friends that went to other AG schools, and I said, tell me about your school. Sell me your school. And the only two people that really sold their school were my one friend, Portia, and my other friend, Dietra.
Oh.
And they were very excited about the school that they were currently attending. And so I kind of got excited, too. And I needed to be a small fish in a big pond again. Mm. And so that was June or July. And so I came back. I had a meeting with my boss. And I said, I just wanted you to know I've decided to go to college. And he was like, great. We support you. This is fantastic. Well, my prayer, because those people had been very good to me, my prayer was that this would be seamless. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really important to my life.
Okay.
And so I prayed that specifically. Well, what ended up happening was they said, we're going to keep you on at manager pay, but we want to move the store in a strip center. We want to move the store down about six stores closer to the anchor store, which is a grocery store. And so what we're going to do is, in the course of you moving out of the manager position, we're going to move the new manager in. And so they kept me on at manager pay with manager benefits. And what I ended up doing was because he had eight different stores at the time, and they would send me to Pentagon City for 3 weeks, and they would send me to the other store in Pentagon City, and they would send me to do a card revision in this store, and they'd send me to organize the back room in this store, and then just serve and train in this store, and blah, blah. So it was basically September, October, November, December. I basically was like a flower delivery person. So when I walked in the door, I'm a fully trained cards and retail employee, and I can train your employees how to do it right. I walked in, and they were like, hey, good to see you, you know? So mm-hmm. That was really great. And so I worked at that store right up until the day before I left to go to college.
You started school in the middle of the school year.
I did. I began school in January, which was really odd. I was 27. I was 28, turning 28 at this point. So I'd never been to college. I moved into a dorm, and it was a community bathroom.
Yes.
Dorm. And that was unique. It was all female. There's a lot of estrogen in that building. And then I had two friends, one that was like vice president, and then the other one who was the head RA of the building that I moved into. So I did have two friends that I was able to have a connection with, but they didn't hang out with me, you know, all the time. Like,
yeah.
I was doing my own thing. And
they were established at school.
Yes. They were very well known and very well established. And so they assisted me, but they didn't hold my hand.
Yeah.
You know?
So you got into leadership, you became a student leader, and then like a couple years later, what happened?
So I was a resident assistant for 3 years. I decided to not return as an RA for a fourth year because I knew I was only going to be there at that point. I thought I was only going to be there for another semester because I was in student teaching.
So wait a minute. You were an education major?
Yeah. I was an education major, and specialization was secondary ed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the conversation that I had with Jesus on the mountain that day was, what do I want to do? What do you like to do? Well, I like to train new hires. Well, then be a teacher. What am I going to teach? What do you like? Well, I like history. Then be a history teacher. Well, who do I teach? What age group do you like? I like high school, college. Then be a high school history teacher.
Wow.
Like, it's just based on, you know, what I already enjoyed.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, rocks in a river where you kind of jump on one and then it leads you to another and then it leads you to another and then it leads you to another. Like, that's really how my life has been.
Yeah.
It's not a straight, you know, you get there and then you do that for 40 years.
You've never been a teacher.
I've never been a teacher.
Wow.
And I did all of my history classes, but I haven't done anything with it. I remember there was a czar in Russia. That's about all I know. So that summer, I made the distinction that I was not going to be an RA for a fourth year. And then I went out to dinner with my friend Jody, and on the way back, I kind of approached the topic with her, and I said, you know, I've always wanted to be a dorm pastor. And she was like, oh my gosh, you'd be a great dorm pastor. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have a talk with the vice president. Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. Because she was stepping out of the dorm pastor position and she really wanted to pass the baton at that point to me. Mm-hmm. So I kind of freaked out and I was like, ooh. So I got up one morning and I decided to go bicycle riding. Now, please understand, that is unique for me. And so, especially in July in Texas, bicycling is not the ideal. Yeah. And so I got up that morning and I got on my bike and I decided to ride around the campus. At that point, I was living in a house for the summer close to the campus. So I'm riding around and I go behind one of the buildings there in the main courtyard of the campus. And my friend Daniel comes out. He was working for the summer and he comes out and we're standing there chatting. And then the vice president walks out of the administration building and he kind of walks down and he walks over towards us. And so, you know, I'm standing there and I say to the vice president, I say, sir, you can join our conversation. He goes, no, it's okay. He goes, I need to talk with you. And I said, okay. And I looked at Daniel and I was like, oh crap, the vice president wants to talk to me. So I said, yes, sir. What's up? And he said, walk with me. And I said, okay. So I kind of got off the bike and I'm, you know, walking with the bike next to the vice president. And he says, how'd you like to come and live on us for a year? Mm-hmm. And I said, excuse me? And he goes, we had a resignation yesterday. Now, this is the end of July. So school is beginning very soon, just to kind of put that in perspective.
In-service has already started.
In-service has already begun, yeah. You know, oh my gosh, I've wanted to be a dorm pastor since I got here. You know, I mean, it was like instantly.
Yeah.
And he goes, he kind of puts his hand on my shoulder in a just a fatherly kind of loving way. And he said, Peg, I can't guarantee you got the job. You need to meet with the deans, but I need a phone number. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I told him my number and he goes, okay, I'll give you a call. And I said, okay. And I rode away from there on my bicycle and I, you know, was riding down the streets and thinking, God, I can't be a dorm pastor for guys. I don't know what they need in devotions. I can't do this. Oh my goodness. You know, that's the one thing that I told God, you know, the reason why I can't be it. Because the building that he had talked about, I knew was a co-ed facility. Yeah. And so, you know, that's the stupid little, you know,
trepidation
declaration I made to the Lord of why I can't do this. But so I rode over to my friend Jody's house and I knocked on the door and she answered the door and she kind of, I mean, I was like, I was all verklempt. Like I, you know, you could see it on me. And she said, come on in. And I was like, I need to talk to you. I go in and sit down. She's standing at the kitchen counter. She's making a sandwich for her husband. And, you know, I'm telling her what had happened and she stops and she puts the knife down and she's like, Peggy, this is God. This is, I never had the conversation with the vice president. You need to know this is God.
Wow.
And you need to know that because there's going to be times that you want to quit and you need to know that this is the Lord that has made this way for you. And I was like, oh, because then the mantle of responsibility and how the Lord made this seamless for me. Like it kind of the heaviness kind of, oh
yeah.
And I was like, I gotta go. And I just left. I don't even really remember, you know, if I said goodbye, I don't really remember. And so I rode around for a little while longer. And then, you know, I went home and then I went and got ready. Cause I had another job at that point at a local restaurant. And so I went to work and I got back and the young lady who was living with me at the time, she said, you gotta interview tomorrow at 10. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And so
you got the job. You stayed,
yes.
You stayed at that university you went to several different buildings and
yes.
Lots of stories in that your time.
Yeah.
How long were you there total? Employed?
11 years.
Employed.
I was a dorm pastor for 11 years.
Wow. So then it comes time, you start feeling your parents have moved and your life situation is a little different. And so you start feeling like your time there is coming to an end. Talk to me about that transition.
Okay. 2011, I went to Jamaica for a missions trip and I was an intern for 5.5 weeks with the missionaries in Jamaica. Great experience. And honestly, I came back from that and I was driving from, because I'd flown into Atlanta and was going to drive back to Texas to the school that I, at that point, I was still on staff at. And I was driving back and, you know, it's 11 hours from Atlanta, or 12 hours from Atlanta to Texas. Really, the whole time the Lord said kind of a conversation with me, and it began with, why don't you quit your job when you get back? Why don't you quit your job? Just trust me. Just leap. And I was like, I can't. I mean, I remember slamming my fist on the, you know, crying, of course, and saying, I can't leave a job that I don't have another job. I can't do that. I don't have the faith for that. You have to teach me to trust you, God. To which he said, basically, he said, you've got a year. You finish it. You dot your I's. You cross your T's. You finish it. And you finish it strong. And so I came back, you know, and so I knew I had a year. And so that, then it went to February of that, during that year, the spring semester, I was in a dorm pastor meeting, and the dean, who was a good friend of mine still to this day, made a point to say, we're making a policy that the third week in March is, we're going to call it Declaration Day. And you guys need to tell me what your decision is concerning being a dorm pastor for the next year, because it's too tedious of a process to get somebody in here if you guys make your decision in June. I mean, immediately I had the quickening of the Lord is the Lord of, I am the Lord of him and I am the Lord of you. And this is going to be fine and you're going to tell him. And so after the meeting, left his office, I might have gone to get a drink and then came back and I knocked on his door because he's sitting in his office, you know, and I said, can I talk with you in a minute? And he goes, sure, what's up? And I said, I don't need to wait until March. I said, this will be my last year at the school. And so he ended up coordinating for me to go by myself to a bed and breakfast in Fredericksburg, and I loved the drive and I loved the time there, and I got a massage and I had a steak dinner and I did some sightseeing around the town, and then I drove. I mean, it was just a great experience, and I came back and I was, you know, ready to go. And then May 24th came and I packed up, and he even coordinated help for my truck, to pack up my truck, and I mean, he just blessed me. And so I had decided I was going to move closer to my mom and my dad. And so I had sent away applications at different universities within like a 3-hour trip of where my parents were residing, because I felt like if anything went down, I could, you know, it would only take me 3 hours to get there. And
but at that time, you did not have a job lined up.
No, I didn't. So I ended up doing it anyway. And that was a faith exercise. Yeah. That whole thing was a faith exercise. So I got to Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I was living with my mom and my dad, and I was fretting. And there was even a time when I called my best friend, Jen, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I made a mistake.
I remember exactly where I was when we had that conversation.
And you spoke truth to me, and you were like, I hope you just hold on. You need to just ride it out. Well, what had happened, the job that I ended up getting at JSU, they have two buildings for every resident director, or residence life coordinator, excuse me. They had the semester before, the director for the University Housing Operations and Residence Life had gotten my application. I've since been told this by the assistant director. Kevin pulled my application out in his fingers, the tips of his fingers, and said, this is the one we need, and set it to the side. And so, and then they looked at all the other applications and blah, blah, blah. And so I came, you know, I moved to Alabama, and I'm helping my mom. What ended up happening was my dad got really sick, and he was in the hospital for like 5 or 7 days, something like that. And then we ended up having to put him in nursing home for 30 days for therapy, for physical therapy and for restorative therapy. And my dad has Parkinson's, but he also had diabetes and some other issues. And so we had taken him some pajama bottoms that he needed and some other, you know, his razor and whatever. So we dropped it off, and I said, Mom, we're going for donuts. We're going to sit on the front porch and we're going to enjoy our donuts. And she said, okay. So I took my mom for donuts. We're sitting on the front porch and my phone rings and I answer it. And it is a lady from JSU. And she said, yeah, we just wanted to see if you'd like to come for an interview. And I was like, yeah. And this is the only one that contacted me.
Of the schools that you applied to.
Yeah, and there was like 6 or 7 that I had applied to in the Alabama, Tennessee area, and even North Georgia area, that they were the only school that contacted me. And they were 8 miles from my mom and dad's house.
Wow.
And so, you know, and she said, but we don't pay anything for travel. And I said, oh, no, I'm here. I'm in Alabama. And she goes, oh, you're here. Okay, well, when do you want to come in? And I said, well, when do you want me? And she said, how about Monday? And I said, great, see you then. And I got off the phone and just, you know, started crying. I guess that's what I do. So I started crying. And, you know, my mom's sitting there. And I mean, I thought that was beautiful that even my mom got to see that I was taken care of.
Yeah.
Like, that thought hadn't come to me until right now. But my mom got to see the goodness of God.
Wow.
Honestly. And so I had the interview, and I had a kind of a side interview with the assistant director so that they could know that I'm an Assemblies of God girl, but I'm not going to preach all the time, which was fine. They just kind of wanted to get a more of a clearer picture of what my character was.
Because you were coming from a private Christian university, and now you're transitioning to
a state school.
Right.
With lots of diversity.
Right.
And it's really important that we present what's honestly in our heart, you know, as far as the diversity that you're going to run into, that they just wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to start preaching, you know, that they just wanted to get a clear perspective of who I am. So
now, were you intimidated by that transition? Like, you'd spent 11 years in a real Christian environment where you're free to talk about whatever your faith, going into something that was going to be a little bit more relations and more.
Yeah, I was intimidated by the transition to the acknowledgement of the white-black conversation.
Okay.
Because I know what I feel in my heart towards other people, mm-hmm. but, you know, they feel something in their heart towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for me to be consistent. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that when it came to issues of diversity, well, I mean, even gender identification issues came up, and even sexual preferences.
Did religion ever come up?
My last year, it did. There was an RA on my team that's a Christian, and she's younger. So she's, when it comes to the way that she asserts her beliefs, sometimes it can be polarizing.
Mm.
And that just really comes with life experience.
Yeah.
And just, you know, navigating kindness above all.
Yeah.
Be true to yourself and your beliefs in that, but just, I don't know, you just have to be careful.
Yeah.
And so there were moments of intimidation that I gleaned some really good lessons. I did a hashtag sandpaper for my life, and that's exactly what it was. Honestly, every experience is sandpaper. JSU's, that was really a chapter in my life that was sandpaper for my life.
Wow.
And I'm blessed.
That's a great way to look at it.
Well, I mean, you know, there are different levels of sandpaper. There's sandpaper that, you know, there's different grades. And thankfully, I think I allowed JSU to be a finer grade of sandpaper.
Wow.
I didn't need the
heavy duty.
I didn't need the beginning sandpaper. I needed the, so.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what it really was. I'm really grateful for that. I walked away with really solid friendships with lots of different people.
Mm.
There's a young woman that was there my last year, and she and I became friends, not like close friends, but like we would chat in the lobby. Kind of, I felt comfortable with her. And that was unique because I didn't have that at the other school. I knew everybody, and, you know, they knew me and all that kind of stuff. At JSU, it was unique to have a connection with students because it's a transient, it's a suitcase.
The culture's different.
So,
culture's
completely different.
Yeah.
And so for me to have a relationship as far as me to even know their name and chat with them in the lobby, that was unique. And this particular young lady, her sexual preference is different. And so, you know, I just thought about her the other day when I was getting ready to possibly post or share a link on Facebook. And I was like, what if that person read me posting that? I'm not prepared to do that.
Mm.
That made me ponder. It made me stop and think. I mean, those kind of situations are good. We need people in our lives that have a different life, whatever, so that we can be more kind, more loving, and not compromise. I'm not compromising my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not posting it in a way that would be ugly.
So how long were you there? on staff?
I was there for 6 years.
Wow. Okay, and then it came time for you to leave that. How did you know? How did you transition out?
Well, this is a, I don't know. These are great stories, aren't they?
they are great
so
stories.
So I really, honestly, because of another situation in my life, I honestly have been looking at the door for about a year, year and a half. My mom and dad's health had been deteriorating, and so I had told my boss that was on my radar, and I felt obligated because my sister, we had moved my parents from Wellington, Alabama. We had moved them to Richmond, Virginia, and we had placed them in assisted living because my older two siblings live in Richmond, Virginia area, and so we it kind of fell on their shoulders as far as the responsibility for mom and dad, and it was a lot. And mm-hmm. some things had changed with my two older siblings, and it just wasn't as easy. And I was feeling, because I wasn't married, I was feeling obligation and responsibility, so I needed to get closer to them.
Yeah.
And so this one particular, because I'm thinking of, you know, the precedence that the dean at the former school had said, you know, February and March, you need to start making your decision about the future. Honestly, there came a day I was talking to the Lord. It was 4:30 and I was leaving my office to go to my apartment because it was the end of the day. And I said, God, I really need you, Holy Spirit, to give me some direction, you know, the month of February and March about what I need to do for next year. Because my supervisor that I had when I left JSU, the director who had been hired, she is my friend as well as she was my boss. Just a really good woman. I really wanted to honor her. And so, you know, I said, Lord, can you just give me some direction, some clarity about in February, March, about what I needed to do? So, you know, closing my door, I'm locking my door. At the end of the day, I'm going to my apartment, kind of trusting that, you know, maybe he'll tell me something. The next day, Tuesday, is when we always, you know, we have a rotation of an on-call phone. Tuesday is the day that we turn it over to the new person. Well, the new person was me this particular week. Christopher, he called me and he was like, yeah, I need to bring the phone over to you. And I was like, oh, okay, because the on-call phone is always just another thing to have to think about.
Yeah.
And you can't get off campus very far and blah, blah, blah. So, and I said, okay. So he comes over and he brings me the on-call phone. Well, somebody was in my office with me at that point, and I was unable to chat with him for longer than, you know, grabbing the phone. Well, he comes back in about 30 minutes. I was like, hey, Christopher, twice in one day was significant. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes I only see him twice a week. And so Christopher says, yeah, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, okay. And he said in and he goes, now, I don't know what's going on, but he said, I just need to tell you that last week, the Lord told me to tell you new experiences. And that's all he said. That's all. But he told me that you need to hear the phrase new experiences. And I was like, okay. And mm-hmm. I started crying. And he's like, are you okay? Can I give you a hug? And I was like, yeah. So we hugged. He goes, okay, well, you know, I'll see you later. And I was like, okay. And I sat there and I was like, that's all I needed. And so I went to my boss, and it was just a beautiful transition again, because I started thinking about what I wanted to do. Like, I'm done with residence life. Mm-hmm. I need a new chapter. And I don't say that in an ugly kind of a way. Like, I just have to give myself permission, honestly, that's done. And so I decided to make that decision. And so I've had a dream to have a bed and breakfast, and I love coffee, and I want to have a coffee shop. And there'll be times that I'm sitting in, you know, the coffee shop that I went to all the time, and I had thoughts about what I would do with my own coffee shop, mm-hmm. or what I wanted to do with my bed and breakfast. And I have a Pinterest page. One day I'm going to own a bed and breakfast. And I've been posting stuff to that page for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so I have an idea. I just need about $25 million. So if anybody would like to donate, that's BYRNE.
So you feel like you're back at that place where God's saying, well, what do you want to do?
Yes, I honestly do.
You feel like you're having that conversation again.
Yeah. Yes. That's really unique that you just said that, because that's exactly the truth. And it's almost, because I just had the conversation with the Lord yesterday, like, driving down the road, where do I need to go to apply for a job? And the and it's almost kind of like the Lord sitting there with a smile on his face saying, what do you want to do? What do you want to do?
That's beautiful. You know, I think we can do this thing over and over and over. Like, that we can learn this lesson of life, whatever that lesson is that the Lord's teaching us or experiencing that he's allowing us to have over and over again. And we're learning deeper and new levels of obedience and submission and
trust.
But we still have the same things in our life. We never stop learning how to trust him. We never stop learning how to submit to him. We never stop learning how to, you know, lay down our anxiety for his peace. I just, I love your life story, Peg, because I mean, you have so much more, obviously. Like, none of us live one story.
Sure,
but that your story of transition from way back when and how you've had this loop, it feels like. But really, it's not a, it's not like a boring loop. It's a circular going like deep into the ground, and you're learning and you're growing and you're different, and every experience is like layer upon layer of new truths and new understanding, like you said, new refining, and you know, like opening your life up to like different people and their perspectives on life and how that just enriches yours so much more.
And thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. And like what you started off by saying about how it each step has built upon the prior step and it's preparing you for something else. And so,
My church that I attended in Alabama, Pastor Kent follows the Jewish calendar, and actively in our church services, he preaches about how God, when he orchestrates the calendar, that there are set feasts that you're supposed to acknowledge at certain times of the year. It's a circular experience. In Western society, I think we do it linear, kind of a straight line. You know, we kind of identify 1623, 1683, 1703, 1773. Like, we kind of acknowledge those kind of things in a linear fashion. Mm-hmm. But in Jewish thought, the way that God orchestrated this is every year there's a pattern, but it's a circular experience. And like, even just talking, I hadn't thought about it, but even you just saying that really kind of makes me ponder about how my life has been kind of a circular motion. Key perspective that God's been good in the past. He is good. So he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And he, since he's been good, I can trust that he is going to see me through this season. And another thought that I had, there's a writer and a speaker, a lady who's a life hero of mine. She told a story once about how a particular plant on her property was growing, and it grew fast, and then it bloomed, and then a storm came, and it ended up tearing it at the base of the plant because the trunk wasn't strong enough to hold the blooms when the storm hit. And I can see how important it has been in different seasons of my life for even adversity to come, because it was forming the trunk of my life, and it was making my roots go deep. And I really think, honestly, right now I'm kind of entering into a winter in a spiritual kind of sense, and it makes me kind of nervous, but he is good. So he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And since he's been good, I can trust that he is going to see me through this season. And
so you've left JSU, and now you're in a space where you don't have a job. You're living with your sister.
Yeah. I don't have it. I left JSU not having a job. Mm-hmm. I resigned that position not having a job. I resigned my position at JSU applying for coffee shops locally in the area of Richmond, Virginia. But because that's really what I want to do. But I can't guarantee, you know, that they're going to hire me. And so I have to just kind of roll with the punches at this point. Maybe I need to Google coffee information, you know, or how to run a bed and breakfast. Like, maybe I need to get how to run a bed and breakfast for dummies. Like, I need to do, you know, so I might be coming to a Barnes and Noble near you, but like, I need to prepare for the next season of my life, because I don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
It's really uncertain, but I based on the experience of my life in the past, you know, even talking about it this afternoon, I'm reminded at how good God has been to me. That is his character, and he doesn't change. And so when I tell the story of my experience and I can see it for myself, I'm reminding myself, and I can feed it into the next season of my life. I remember you talking to me at one point when you were expressing to me looking over the past and changes and challenges that you've walked through, and you said, I wish I would have been more faithful. Mm-hmm. And that actually, that's been reminded me here recently. I have to practice my faith in this season of uncertainty and, you know, fight with truth. I have to fight my fear mm-hmm. with the truth.
Yeah. And we say those things with no shame or guilt, right. because that's all under, you know, that's all in Jesus. Yes. But yes. we can look back and we can say, I could have done that better. Next time around, this yeah. is what I'll do. This is what yes. I'll take into it. This is how I'm going to surrender to the Lord, and or I should have let him do more, or I shouldn't have taken on so much. Or, you know, yeah, we can always look back and see
yes.
how we could have done. 2020 vision, right?
Yes. Hindsight is 2020. Yeah. Agreed.
It's beautiful that you're here at this place, and this is not the end of the story. We're just at another chapter. And yes. it's exciting because, I mean, the way the Lord has been faithful in the past, and the way that you've asked, like from the very beginning, you ask him to be seamless.
Yes.
And just to have a hand of protection over you and provision, and, you know, to be your front and rear guard.
Yeah.
And how he's done that. He's honored that request.
Protector, provider, and priest is actually what I've asked him to be, because that's what a husband is.
Yeah.
He's the protector, provider, and priest. And so for the time being, not only is God my father, but he is my husband. And I you know, don't run that logic too far, but he is. So he's going to be my protector, my provider, and priest.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. And he's going to do it again. And that's, you yes. know, the podcast is Love, Hope, and Stories. I think whenever we talk about how much he loves us and how good he is, and his goodness is love.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, when we talk about stories, we listen to other people's stories. I'm going to say this a lot, like as the yeah. show goes on, it just creates a level of hope.
Agreed.
And the expectation level, and the you know, just if he did it before, he's going to do it again. Or if he did yes. it for them, he can do it for me.
Yes.
It's exciting.
Well, yes, it is. Well, honestly, Joyce Meyer has a book called Get Your Hopes Up. And when I've heard her advertise that book, when I've watched her show, I've almost been like, ugh, stop that. Because in the past, you know, I looked at my life through one glass window, and I was frustrated and disappointed because I wasn't married, just transparently.
Yeah.
And I would get my hopes up. And when that didn't happen, I looked at it through lack.
Yeah.
But I have been reviewing that glass window and thinking that's been his protection.
Wow.
I don't have to worry about, you know, sharing finances with somebody, or divorce, or infidelity, or even dishonesty, or all of that that can come with if I would have jumped into it quickly in an inappropriate timing, or, you know, whatever. Like, I don't have to consider those things.
Mm-hmm.
And those hurts. So now I do get my hopes up with just life, and let it spill into whatever glass window it needs to spill into, because God is good.
That's so beautiful.
He's going to protect me.
That's good.
That's a recent like, ah, kind of epiphany I've had. So yeah. Growth, I guess.
Well, this has been fun, Peggy. Thank you for being my friend, number one.
You're welcome.
Thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Letting me walk through some of this in real time over the last 20 years with you. And then for sharing it today. I think there's somebody out there that in a transitional period, or maybe they're at the very beginning. You know, my hope is that not just our age people listen to this, but like people just getting yeah. started are listening
yeah.
and I hope that they pack it away, you know, for future stuff. So would you pray?
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you so much that you have allowed us to know you, woven into our lives and the beautiful tapestry that you are creating as we trust you and as we walk with you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm crying. I'm seeing the potential. Sorry, Jesus. Okay. Holy Spirit, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, I ask, first of all, I thank you for the way that you intercepted my life, because I know of the moments that you have intercepted my life and what you've intercepted me from and the criterion of my life. I know what those are. And so, Lord, I thank you that you intercepted Peg, this little redhead. But Lord, I believe that you're intercepting and you have intercepted others. So, Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the life that you've given me, all of the bumps and the bruises and the blessings and the wonderful things that have happened. I thank you for all of that. And I just pray for anybody who might be listening today, and even just the fact that you've given me and Jen an opportunity to refresh ourselves with the truth of what you've been in our lives. But Lord, I do pray for anybody who might be listening right now that might be in their car or sitting in their bedroom or at their office desk or whatever. They're listening to this on earphones or whatever. Lord, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would go to them right now, because you are the God of time and space and you're outside of that. So, Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would, Holy Spirit, speak to them right now and just help them to, first of all, realize the things that you've intercepted them from and the way that you're weaving yourself through their lives. And I just ask that you would be intimately involved in the details of their lives and help them to learn to trust you.
Yes.
And to find you faithful, because you are. Help them to see it. Help them see it, Holy Spirit. Take the blinders off of their eyes and help them to see it so that they can begin to trust you and cultivate that in their lives. And I just pray that that would be good soil, that this word lands on good soil. And I just thank you, Lord, that you pull the weeds out when it's necessary. So, Lord, I bless you, and you are good, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks so much for listening today. If this encouraged you, would you let me know? I would love to pass it along to Peggy. If you have the Anchor app, you can leave me a message right there on the app. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Love Hope and Stories. We're on Twitter at Love Hope Stories. They don't have enough room for the and. You can also email me at, guess what? Lovehopeandstories@gmail.com. I can't wait to hear from you. Until next time.